Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of So Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, happy Wednesday, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm your co-hostess, Michelle Pache, and I'm here today with Dr. Tim. We warmly welcome you to the show, and thank you for choosing to be with us. Today is Wednesday, October 2nd. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk with Dr. Tim. We would love to hear from you, your comments and questions, because then that makes this your show. So now let's welcome Dr. Tim in the process of learning forgiveness.
Well, hello, Michelle. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for being here.
We are...
Michael, maybe.
Pardon me?
I think, is Michael... Oh, there they go. Here. Hi, Jeannie.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good.
Good. Michael's having a little bit of challenge getting on. Did you get in there? He's in, finally. So... how's everybody doing? So you had an exciting time yesterday at the jail?
Rex and I went to prison yesterday to begin a 16-week course in teaching the inmates laws of living.
Awesome. How many people did you have?
I'm not quite clear on the morning group. That was level 2 prisoners. I'm thinking in the 20s. I know for sure the afternoon session had 35 men. So it was a real large group and attentive, and Rex did a great job introducing and laying some foundational groundwork for what they would be endeavoring and kind of the rules of engagement. And then we moved into the evaluative process. And so we've got close to 100 paper and pencil evaluations to prepare for giving them some feedback next week.
Awesome. And if there's some noise, it sounds like somebody walking on forever. Anyway, we had sent an Excel spreadsheet, so it would be easier if somebody can just put their numbers in there. Jacob said that he could just upload the whole batch into the system from the back door, so you don't have to go through and answer each individual question.
Okay, maybe we can talk more about that later with Rex. Is that what you're talking about, the evaluation?
For some reason, Michael's talking. I can hear him talking in the other room, but he's not coming through the speaker, so.
Is he 815?
Yes.
Okay, and Michael, hi. Sorry, I wasn't sure that was you.
Someone is walking, a lot of noise.
No, he's 818, Michelle.
Oh, okay, my apology. Michael, hi. Sorry about that.
Okay.
Okay, I got it. I wasn't sure with your number. So, Jeannie,
okay.
You were
I'm here
about,
loud and clear, and
I did talk with Rex last night after you guys finished the prison, and we have a request. Rex was going to go ahead and try to put those evaluation results in, which for someone who's not really into computer entry is going to be quite a task. And so we're asking, making a request, if there's someone who has somewhat proficient at data entry, if you would be a volunteer, if we could find a volunteer who could help us with that. It would mean putting the data into a spreadsheet, the answers actually into a spreadsheet so they can be uploaded. So if we've got anybody who's listening to the show that would be willing to help us with that, it would be nice to hear from you, and Rex would get that out to the paper results right away and the spreadsheet forwarded to you so that we can get those uploaded, and you'll be able to give the results to folks next week. So if anybody could help us with that, we need some help. Otherwise, I hear Dr. Tim's voice in the background.
I'm here. And,
how do you mean, sir?
We had our support group last night. We had 12 people who were listening to one of the different interpretations of the Aramaic Beatitudes from Yayam. And it led to a lively discussion and then a worksheet process. And it continues to be one of the highlights of my week and a very rewarding group of loving people who are working on removing anything less than love from their energy system. So that was wonderful. And I was curious to hear more about the work in the prison and Michelle's first time in there and how things went yesterday, aside from the assessments.
Tell us about it, Michelle.
Oh, I was thinking Rex might be here to help talk about it. I was in the present moment for probably 7 hours straight because there's so much to take in a new environment like that, and just being mindful of everything that was happening and processing and holding a space of love while Rex communicated and delivered his message. And so I told him on the way home there were three distinct points during his presentation where I was perceiving a wave of love that was so powerful that it almost brought me to tears. And because I was on stage and I wanted to maintain emotional stability, I breathed and moved through it. But it was so powerful, and I could really have a visceral sense of the love present. And it felt like there was a lot of support in that way. And the gentlemen were polite and receptive, and we passed out the certificates of completion and certificates of participation from the first sessions that he started over the summer, and there was a lot of applause and acknowledgement for that. It was great, and I am looking forward to 15 more weeks of participating in whatever way I can to support Rex in delivering his message and really allowing them the opportunity to be exposed and learn and practice the material. I was surprised. One of the criteria for the participation was that they had completed 100 worksheets, and we were passing out certificates for that, and I was like, wow, that is something else.
I thought that one of the most amazing participants in that first eight-week series was the gentleman who was only able to make it for the first week and had to work each time there was another session, so was not able to make it to any of the other sessions except for the last one, and he did show up with the last one with his 100 worksheets completed. Even though he wasn't in the class, he did the work, and it's a pretty amazing level of commitment. And for anybody who doesn't know what it is that we're talking about, the very high-level, disciplinary, high-security prison in Ione, Michigan has opened the door to bring this work in. And Rex and a crew, Jeannie and I, and Rex and Mitzi started out back several weeks ago, oh, I guess almost 2.5 months ago now, and presented several sessions to two different levels, two different groups of people in that prison. And then Rex and a team carried on. A variety of different folks participated with him and carried on a six-week support group working with the forgiveness process. And so those who completed got certificates of attendance and certificates of completion. We actually did two levels with that. One was for people who attended but did not complete the 100 worksheets, and then the other was another level of acknowledgement for those who actually did the work, put the pen to the paper. It was interesting at the when Rex announced early in the 8-week series how a certificate of completion was going to require 3 worksheets a day, the reason that several people gave for not being able to do that was that they didn't have time, being locked in a prison cell, which was kind of an interesting interaction. But several did complete that, and it's pretty awesome. And then the group carries on with now a 16-week series. So it'll be exciting to hear you reporting from week to week. You're committed. You're going to do the whole series with him. That's fabulous.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. One of the things at our lunch break, Rex kind of warned me was that once I had made this commitment, things were going to be amped up, and my stuff was going to be coming fast and furious. And although nothing in the actual day triggered me, but a lot of stuff outside has shown up, and I'm not only experiencing that, but I'm also receiving support to move through it. And so it's really benefiting me in ways that I didn't even expect already after day one. And so that is exciting. It kind of encourages me and to make the commitment, because it is it's some work.
That's a big commitment. That's a good day. You know, by the time you drive up there and then do two sessions with two different groups of men and get back to Lansing, that's a pretty big commitment. And it's awesome that it works so perfectly that you get to review the whole Laws of Living again. That will really serve you of doing the work, reading the essays and all right along as you're doing the review. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I got some coaching around that today from Heartland, and interesting, I created some intention around what it is exactly that I'm up to, and so I'm even more clear than I was before about that part of it, Michael. And so it's really I feel blessed to have the opportunity to serve in that way myself and other people. It's cool. It's great. And I was surprised, actually, how comfortable I was in the environment. I was a little worried about being claustrophobic, and it wasn't. It was actually kind of pleasant, if I actually can be honest. It surprised me that it was.
That's pretty cool.
Relaxing, yeah.
Definitely, for those who aren't familiar with it.
So the particular facility we are in was the oldest working prison in Michigan currently, and architecturally the building is beautiful. And I think although there are certain rules for engagement with these men, I think they're genuinely grateful that people are there to support them in whatever way they're ready to receive that support. And so that I get a sense of that too.
Well, I think that being part of the process with these fellows, and again, for those who aren't familiar with the Ione prison, we're talking about people who are in there from 25 years to life. It's a pretty serious disciplinary prison, which means that those who don't get along well in the regular prison system get sent to Ionia. So it's it's kind of like they gather what in that particular system are considered the worst of the worst. And when we were there, I remember the first day we went in and we worked with two different groups of men. And when they walked in, Nobody looked at anybody. Nobody looked at us. There were kind of, you know, very short, brief hellos, no eye contact, no conversation. And when they left, there were hugs, there were thank yous, there were smiles, there was direct eye contact, handshakes. It was quite a powerful happening to be with these guys who, you know, I think by and large feel like the culture's given up on them. So it was pretty sweet to be with them. The appreciation, I know the second session that we did with them, there was one gentleman who, when we presented the worksheet, this fellow was in his 60s, and he was really motivated because he'd had a challenging relationship with his mother right from the beginning, and his mother was coming to visit that weekend. We didn't quite get the worksheet process finished, so that's why we ended up doing a second session with them. And in that second session, it had gone over the weekend, and he shared with us that he had completed the worksheet on his own, even though he didn't have the full instruction on it, and that he'd had the best visit with his mother that he had ever had, and he'd been in this facility, I forget how many decades, but for a long time, and it was the best visit that he'd had, and he could see that it was simply because he'd been able to contact and change a part of his own mind that was creating this trauma around visiting with his 93-year-old mother. So it was pretty amazing testimony and pretty amazing to be a part of that kind of shift. And so you're going to get to see some pretty awesome things happen and some really, you know, I think heavy work being done. And that means that you're going to move and open in new ways. And it's awesome. I'm just so delighted for you. I can remember when I first did Laws of Living, it was a course called Emotional Maturity Instruction that was created for the prison. And I can remember the first time that I did it, and then it was some time before I was able to be involved again, and then ended up combining my work with the Emotional Maturity Instruction to come up with Laws of Living. So the opportunity to do it again after having just done it this summer for the first time is pretty awesome. It's pretty cool. And, of course, we'll be there for support. And for those who may not know what Laws of Living is, it's a course that was initially developed for the prison system and then adopted for intensives at Heartland. We do it each year now in a 16-day residential format. And the whole idea of Laws of Living is to become acquainted with the ancient Aramaic idea of law and how the law operates. And realizing that law is not the rule of a superior, as men would want us to believe, so that they can control us. Something just happened with my phone, but anyway, I think we're back. Anyway, that law is not the rule of a superior, but rather is simply how the eternal forces operate, that there are eternal forces in the universe. When we're acquainted with them, we get to work with them, and that true law can never be broken. Men's rules and regulations, of course, we can break, and men call those things laws, but laws are not broken. You know, we don't fly airplanes by breaking the law of gravity. We fly airplanes by being acquainted with and working within and understanding how those forces operate. And so it is throughout the whole universe. And when you understand how these laws operate in the physical, mental, emotional, social, sexual, financial, in every arena, when you understand how those eternal forces operate, you get to play. You get to have liberty to work within them, as opposed to being restricted by not understanding what it is that's happening. So that's the course that they're going to be teaching in the prison for the next 16 weeks. Week number one completed. So
Michael,
pretty fabulous. And again, go ahead.
Yesterday, as you know, we did the evaluative process. So that is, the Minnesota Multiphasic Personality Inventory, MMPI, and it was, I was administering that, and so I was reading the questions, and as you know, there are several questions related to law, authority, criminal activity, getting even, those kind of questions. And because of the population, there was, I think, a lot of snickering and a lot of relating to the, I guess, maybe the inside humor as it relates to answering some of those questions. And so it was interesting to see how that kind of unfolded, because I know that they probably have an old school idea about what law is, and you know, they're in for an interesting ride.
Yeah, there's going to be some interesting minds changing in the whole process. And by the way, just to be accurate, the personal code evaluation is an adaptation of the MMPI. It's actually
not
the full MMPI. It is just an adaptation of it. So
okay,
specifically designed for this use. Yeah, cool.
Did let's tell you the part where the prison guard asked us some questions about it. I guess you know, we're monitored by security cameras, and not, you know, the visuals there, but no sound. And so the guard at our lunch break approached Rex, because it appeared to her that maybe the participants were being rambunctious or unruly, because it seemed to be they seemed to be interacting. And we got a chuckle out of that, because we assured them that, no, this is an interactive process, and that there isn't a level of engagement to be expected, and that everything is fine, and, you know, they're being appropriate.
Cool. No, he hadn't shared that with me.
Yeah, so it was, we got a kick out of that.
Awesome. Well, I look forward to hearing how it all unfolds as the weeks pass by, and we see just what unfolds with everyone. That's pretty fabulous. So shall we check and see if there's anything happening in the chat room in the way of questions that we need to be giving some attention to, or is anyone with some support needed in there, and or is there anyone in the phone queue with a hand up that has a question for us?
The chat room is quiet today. However, we've got two callers with their hands up. Actually, one is area code 517, so that must be somebody from Michigan. Would you like me to say hi?
Sure, let's say hello to 517.
Hi, it's Missy. Hello.
Oh, hey there, young lady. Welcome.
Thank you.
Hi, Missy.
Hi. Hi, everybody. I am just delighted with the whole process, and I just had a beautiful walk with a friend, and just kind of marveling at how the tools really are designed to make life easier, and that for a long time I've resisted sort of, but I think I have some issues with my power person telling me what to do or authority or whatever, but recently I've noticed that the things that I've wanted to do that I think I should do have started to become the things I want to do. And so it's easier. It's easier. I think I'm healing some of my carbon-based memory around all of it. But so there's that. And then, Michael, you and I had a conversation, a couple of conversations about resumes, and you thought it would be a good topic for the radio show. And although I feel like I have some form of resolution for myself, I would ask you again the question I asked, which is, how would these tools and working with material for most of my adult life, how would that manifest in words on a resume? And so that was the original question, and I'd be curious to see what anyone else has to say about it.
Well, of course, for me, it would depend on what the purpose of the resume was and in what arena is the resume going to be used. You know, if you were applying for a job as a prison guard, it would be probably different than
applying
for a job as a birth coach.
Right. I understand. Yes, and sir, you're right. This would be just a general, and perhaps it doesn't even, this is what I've arrived at for myself, is that it doesn't probably have to be put on a resume in words, that it's who I am. And provided I get an interview, then the tools are in practice. And I spoke with Mark about this, and together we did kind of come up with the same thing. It's like it really is dependent on what the intent is and what we're trying to reach and who would be reading it and what have you. But it was good food for thought for me. Of the majority of my adult life, I've applied these principles, and yet it isn't something that is easily put into the words of the corporate world. So, you know what I mean? I don't think they value a lot of the things I would write if I were just candidly writing my own resume. This is what I'm great at. This is what I'm, you know, these are my best skills.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, for instance, if I were going to be applying for something like a corporate trainer in the corporate world, then perhaps the resume conversation around this work might look like the fact that you've done a lot of interior work that tends to move your life in the direction of being able to assist people in communication, in cooperation, enhancing the working together of people of different beliefs, different faiths, different understandings, and how to resolve conflict between those people through various means and, you know, a series of tools that you've learned. That might be what might fit in that kind of a venue. If
sure.
I were, like, for instance, your work being that of birth coach and doula, I would think that the resume might look like the ability to speak about the kind of space that you create for people, that you are
that's
the space of welcoming.
Yeah,
well,
that's not usually something on a resume that people
thought.
See, you know, that, oh, I'm good at holding the space of love. It's a little, well, and here's the deal. I'm not really applying specific for any specific job. I just realized I'd never had a resume and someone asked me, and it has been an exercise in kind of a distillation or another arm of the purpose exercise of really self-evaluating what I am doing and why and what my skills are, what am I really good at, and what do I enjoy, and just a different way of writing about it. So,
right.
Yeah. I appreciate the input, though, and yeah, it's a little bit, it's interesting that resumes are designed to just, like, pique their interest. It's not something I'm accustomed to, like, talking in half sentences and, you know, the whole resume thing. It's just, yeah. The format's a little odd to me, but I'm
right.
Figuring it out. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Cool.
Yeah.
And if at some point you'd like to just email me what you got, I'd love to read it and be happy to give you some feedback on it as well.
Sure, I appreciate that. Something else that
And while
been...
the world might not...
Hmm.
I was going to say, while the world might not seem to appreciate the fact of the kind of space that you can create and the kind of space that you can hold, I think that that is something that can be very powerfully put on a resume. And it would tend, if you were out looking for a place of employment, it would tend to open a door into the kind of space you'd want to be in, where if someone saw the resume and, you know, and recognized that and valued
right.
that would probably be exactly the kind of place you'd want to be working.
Right. That's actually kind of what Mark said, too. I appreciated that feedback and hearing it again in a just a little bit different words, is that if I could put a phrase in there that someone else might just overlook if it didn't have meaning for them or they didn't have brain cells for it, they would just be like, okay, interesting. But if someone did understand what I was saying, then that would be a big plus. As long as it wasn't too, you know, airy-fairy sounding that it put most people off. So, yeah. I'll send it to you when I get it together.
Cool. Awesome.
Cool. Awesome.
All right. Well, anything else exciting in your world? Anything we can support you with?
Well, one thing that is very simple and yet has been profound for me is that I have been using the word love and God interchangeably. And I guess I'm just starting to see there's not a lot of words to express really how I'm just starting to see a lot of things come together in my life and make sense. Like, the a little bit broader picture is surfacing, and I'm able to. And I felt like before my life was a lot of separate events, and now what I'm realizing is that all the separate events are really part of a bigger event, part of a bigger tapestry, so to speak, if you use the metaphors that we use sometimes. But just this, all these circles kind of coming together that seemed independent and separate are, I'm seeing them as being inclusive. And I have been using the word love and God interchangeably, and also breath and, you know, God, just using them all. And it's been an interesting shift in my awareness to do that. So, and I feel it's so peaceful to kind of see the bigger picture, the more connected picture. It supports a sense of peace, which I'm grateful for in the moment. I'm having a new level of vitality.
That's awesome, and I'd offer that it probably doesn't do any of that, but you are that space of peace and that space of the presence of love. And the tendency to language it and put it outside yourself, it is, as opposed to I am. And I, you
Hold
know, I've had the privilege. Sure.
Okay.
I've had the privilege over about 30 years of getting to be with you in your process, and I acknowledge you for the integrity of the work that you do in the world and the work that you have done within yourself to be able to bring that presence of love into the world in a way that is very powerful.
Thank you, Michael. I appreciate it, and
you're
right.
Most welcome.
It's a state inside of me, yes. Thank you for helping me see my my beliefs, that which I hide from myself. So anyway, thank you, and I would welcome any other feedback or people have any regarding language, I guess, you know, putting our work into the language. So
cool.
I'm going to go ahead and go on mute and listen to the next caller.
All right, awesome.
Thank
I appreciate
you.
your presence in our world. Blessings. Love you. So our call-in number is 646-200-4169. If you have a question, and we would appreciate it if you would formulate where you're at in your life in the way of a question that we can directly answer as it relates to this work, a way that we can support you. If you have some, you know, confusion, some not understanding about any point in the whole forgiveness process. And, of course, when we talk about forgiveness with this work, we're not talking about how I let you off the hook for what I've created in my life. We're not talking about how I forgive you for what's going on inside of me. And to recognize that if I listen closely and carefully to my language will always reflect the state of my own creative process. And when I can own that, and when I can forgive the parts of me that create turmoil and trauma in my life, then I'm really truly engaging in the forgiveness process. We've been taught by our culture a false idea of forgiveness. We've been taught that if we're in pain or turmoil, it's all somebody else's fault, and all we have to do is forgive them, is just let them off the hook, and then things are going to be better. And our input is that that's a false idea of forgiveness, and it tends to lead to, when we engage in that false idea of forgiveness, the why is this happening to me again experience, because the part of ourselves with which we create our blocks, our withholding from ourselves, our turmoil, our trauma, our pain, is all an internal experience. And what the culture has taught us to do is to speak of it as though our internal experience is externally caused. And if we somehow let that which is internally caused show up in our minds as somebody else's fault, then the culture teaches us that what we do is we forgive them. And what we're offering is that the forgiveness process and what we want specifically to support you in, because that's one of the ways we get to learn it on another level, is to go inside yourself, take responsibility for your creative process, and to remove, forgive the parts of yourself with which you create turmoil, trauma, blocks, withholding. You know, we naturally live in an abundant universe. And of course, being in an abundant universe as a creator, there's an abundance of poverty if that's where our mindset is.
Are you there, Michael? Are you there, Michelle?
Yeah,
I'm
here. My phone is just doing some funky things here. It just cut out on me there for a second. So when I speak about the external world as being the cause of the internal world, I cut myself off from being able to change the internal world. And what the actual original Aramaic process of forgiveness does is it empowers us to go directly into the internal world and remove what never belonged. And what never belonged is language, thoughts, or feelings based in any form of hostility or fear. And so, as opposed to applying forgiveness to someone or something outside of us, the real original first century Aramaic forgiveness is a tool that we use to apply inside of ourselves to remove, literally, the state of mind, the state of thinking that produces the drama, the trauma, the pain, the poverty, or what have you. And so the process is one which is not easily engaged in this culture. That's one of the reasons why we do the radio show every day, to be there as support for people who are engaging in the tools of forgiveness. If you haven't looked at the worksheet process itself, if you haven't engaged in the tools, then we invite you to go to our website, which is www.whyagain.org. And in the upper left-hand corner, you'll see a link that says Start Here. And that unfolds an explanation of the forgiveness process, gives you the actual worksheet, the tool for doing the forgiveness process, for going inside of yourself and literally emptying yourself of the capacity for any form of hostility or fear, of the capacity to experience limitation, poverty, trauma, or drama. The world insists that all of those things are enforced on us from without. And when we insist on that, then we miss the part of us that participates and sets it up. And oftentimes the reason we miss it is because it's been going on in our bloodline for so many generations that it seems normal and it is not easy to confront, which is why the forgiveness process, the reality management worksheet, is such an important tool. And when one engages and truly engages in that tool, as opposed to what the world wants to do is just tell our story, when we really engage in that forgiveness process, we collapse the story that tells us that something outside of us is causing our internal experience, and we come back into direct relationship with the internal experience. And when you take the depth of your human life, when you take the depth of love that you are, and, you know, we establish our definition of human life by inviting you to remember holding a newborn child. When you bring that awesome presence of love into the deeper and deeper and deeper hidden parts of the mind, then the parts of the mind that never were designed to hold hostility and fear begin to let go of and to dissolve their hostility and fear. And what shows up is a whole new world, a whole new life. Oftentimes, when we create a result in our lives, we go into resistance to that result. We refuse to accept it, and we rail against it as though it's an event externally imposed upon us. Now, that doesn't mean you can't ever question an event that shows up in your life. But as you question the event that shows up in your life, you want to do a parallel work of looking within yourself to find the part of yourself that cooperates in that showing up in your world. And as you shift and change that part of yourself, then the external events tend to reorganize and rearrange themselves around you. And so that's where we want to go with that forgiveness process. And we invite you to go to the works, to the website, pick up that reality management process. And as you look at the worksheet itself, you'll see that the links under that Start Here button, or there's a red bullseye, red and white bullseye you can click on. As you tap into that and the link just past the worksheet itself, or actually there are six links there that will give you radio shows where we've actually walked someone through the whole worksheet process. And when people really truly engage in that, it always amazes me when one's willing to own the output of one's own mind. It always amazes me what one drops into and finds out about themselves and has the opportunity to work through. And so that's what we're here to support. And in the meantime, again, our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Is there anything happening in the chat room? Anybody with a question there, or anybody with a hand up in the phone queue?
We have a couple people with their hands up. I wanted to just reiterate how spot on that conversation is for me. I got some extremely powerful coaching and support right before the call, directly related to my speech, and I was willing to hear this person, and it's made a big difference just in the last hour. So I encourage people to accept that support for those enough brave enough to give it. You know who's on the queue is Dora with Unstuck Wednesday. So she's live now. Hey, Dora.
Awesome.
Hello, how are you?
Hey there, young lady.
Can you hear me?
We're doing well here in Sweden. It's nice to hear your voice. It was nice to have dinner with you the night before we left for Sweden.
Yes, it was very nice. Thank you. I enjoyed it. Glad you had a good trip there.
So
everything's going well.
It is. It's rocking right along. Unfortunately, we were sort of hoping not to be on the show tonight because we had the possibility of an extra Wise is Happening to Me Again workshop showing up with a group of native Aramaic speakers here in Sweden. But unfortunately, it turned out the group could not rearrange the time for us to be able to present tonight. So here we get to do the show with you.
Oh, good. Good.
So Unstuck Wednesday. Tell us about your idea for Unstuck Wednesday.
Well, I had just noticed that so many of my friends were stuck and on issues, and they, you know, these are people that work on themselves and, you know, non-traditional methods. And so I figured, why don't we just take, and you had chosen Wednesday, and just focus on becoming unstuck, and just to help us move along, because we're all working so hard, and yet, you know, it's like we can't seem to grab that carrot out there. So I just focused this day on bringing up our issues, and I've noticed things just keep coming up for me, like they always do, but I'm paying more attention to them now. Things are becoming more clear. My intuition is more clear. I am placed on somebody's path that, you know, I needed to be, because I had to hear something again, something with me and my sugar, you know. And somebody pointed out yesterday, Dora, it's probably all the candida, you know, and there's they have these pills now to kill the candida. And so finally the light bulb's going on with that. Okay, good, let me, you know, start taking those now. And then with doing my sheets, I realize now I've gone into, you know, I'm so deep into the core issues that now I'm working on things or letting something surface what I've done to other people. Instead, my sheets are usually, oh, what has that person done to me or something like that. But now it's, what have I been doing to other people? So that's coming up. And, of course, I haven't really seen. I keep eating sugar to stop it coming up, of course. So I need to stop doing that. But that's that's pretty powerful for me. So I'm happy to see that, and I'm happy to you know, do the sheets to clear that out.
Well, that's awesome, and I would definitely suggest that if you're aware that you have candida and you're taking some kind of anti-candida medication, that it's kind of like you've got a new Ferrari and you're determined to win the race, but you're going to do it with the emergency brake on. If you keep eating sugar, you're really setting up a conflicting situation, because sugar, of course, is the thing that causes a flare-up in candida, that it's the food supply that just causes them to multiply exponentially. And so giving up that drug of sugar is a big piece of work to do, and a big piece of getting unstuck, to really literally choose to give up the drug. Sugar is, that's major. And as you do, you're going to get to see deeper and deeper levels of your own mind and get to clear it out. And of course, it takes a lot of courage to give up that addiction. It's a big addiction in this culture.
Most definitely. And it's been a lifelong, I mean, I've always said that was my choice of drugs, sugar. It wasn't anything else. And so I know I haven't started taking the candida pills yet. I just heard this group has been trying them out, and they seem to be doing quite well. So now I know that's there. And so now it's like, okay, keep walking forward, Dora, and get to that point. But I know things are going to take definitely a major, major shift once I let go of the sugar. Major shift. So, but other things
are happening.
Go ahead.
One of the most inspiring pieces of information that I've come across recently around sugar, in terms of really understanding what sugar does and how powerful a drug it is there were some researchers who were using rats and having rats in a cage where the rats chose what was delivered to them, and they pushed one lever and sugar would be delivered to them. A lever right beside that they pushed, and what would be delivered through the same feeding tube would be cocaine. And what they found was that 94% of the rats opted for sugar rather than cocaine. And then when they purposely addicted a group of rats to cocaine, 84% of those rats shifted their addiction to sugar. They gave up the cocaine for sugar when they were put in that environment where they had a choice. And so, of course, their conclusion was that sugar was more addictive than cocaine. And cocaine's pretty addictive stuff. So it's not thought of in our culture as a drug, but you know, most of the food manufacturers have recognized its drug properties, because in so many foods where, of course, it's not needed at all, it's still added. And I think the reason is because people tend to become addicted to whatever it is that they're eating that has sugar, and so there's more profit when things are filled with sugar that aren't necessary to be filled with sugar. So I'll support you. In fact, I'll invite you right now to make a commitment to give up any form of refined sugar in your diet for the next 30 days. Would you be willing to do that?
Okay. Okay, I'll do it.
Cool.
Okay.
Awesome. Well, we'll hold the space and be of support. And remember that as you do that, there's going to be all kinds of stuff come up, and when it does start to come up, when you let go of that which you've been anesthetizing yourself with, you're going to feel things that you, all your life, having used that drug, have not been able to feel. And so, as with all healing, it's probably not going to be Dr. Feelgood. And so we just hold the space that you are willing, that you key in to the show whenever you need support and assistance. I don't know if you've got a support group there. You know, that's not something that came up in our conversation last week. But if you don't, I'd invite you to start one and have some really solid support there, so that as things start to pop and break loose, you will have support to move through it.
Okay, good. There's people, there's people like I can call, but I don't attend them. I'm sure there. I know there's one in Boca, I can check around with
cool.
Margaret. And, good. Well, thank you. I will take the time.
All right, you've got our support.
Okay, thank you. I'll have a good week.
Good luck, Dora.
Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Love and blessings. Bye-bye.
Michael,
awesome.
What would be a better way?
That'll be a big piece of work. Excuse me, go ahead.
I was going to say, what would be a better way to say good luck? Somehow that doesn't slip
for me, what I usually do is I just really tap in inside myself to that space of connectedness and offer that I will be that space and I will hold that space for whatever needs to move to open, to let loose, and to move forward.
Actually, that reflects more how I was feeling about her willingness to make that commitment to you so on the spot, quick.
Cool.
So there is another
awesome.
A hand up. So we've got about 9 minutes left in the show. It's area code 828. Hold on.
And while you're calling forward area code 828, let me just say that one of the things I know Dora is doing is that she's going to be joining Jeannie for the Women Healing Women Retreat in November when we get back. We'll be. And so is Michelle. Yes, she's going to be there with you, but Dora is going to be there, so you'll get to connect with and you'll get to meet Dora, Michelle, this November. And it'll be fun to see what results Dora gets as she moves in that direction. So do we have Eric Code 828 on the air?
They are live.
Hey, Michael, it's Terry. Can you hear me?
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, Terry.
Well, hi there,
I can hear
young
you.
Man. It's good to hear your voice. Welcome.
Hey, how are you?
I am really blessed and enjoying being in Sweden right now.
I bet. I can just see it. That's probably a marvelous adventure for you there. I'm very, very pleased to hear that's rolling out for you well.
Cool, and it's awesome to hear your voice. How are you? What's exciting in your world?
Oh, there's all kinds of good stuff. Michelle had gotten back from Brazil, and evidently she had connected with someone that was in from Denmark there, and she wasn't sure if that connection
Paula.
Was. Yeah. So that that resulted, I think. Are you going to be doing a workshop there too? Is that correct?
Yes. As a matter of fact, Friday night we have a workshop here in Stockholm, Sweden. And Saturday morning, we fly out early. We get into Stockholm at 11:30. They're picking us up at the airport. And Paula, the person that Michelle had met, has us set up to be doing a Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop starting at 1 o'clock. And we're going to be staying with some friends of hers while we're there. So that's pretty awesome.
That's a pretty amazing coincidence, huh? Her being in Brazil.
It is.
It's really awesome. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's really kind of fun. Paula was still in Brazil when she contacted us, and I think it was actually before she even got back to Denmark that she had set up a room and invited people. And the last I heard, they had 25 people registered. So that is pretty
yeah.
cool.
Yeah, I've been hearing that, and then I've kind of come through a whole new level of things. I was reflecting on that, and it's like. After spending 2 years in Heartland, it's taken me about 2 years to process through a lot of what happened with me there, you know, in that whole course of doing all the worksheets and the support and all that was going on. So I'm pretty excited about that. Reopened the book. I think I mentioned to you a while back. I was writing a book, Why Again, and why again in my life, and how it's impacted my family now for over a decade. And my children, they're getting older, and they'll come up and make comments that connect back to your work and the tools and how they're becoming more and more integrated in the family dynamics, and the ripples just keep rippling out. And, so I have some gratitude, definite gratitude for all that, and look forward to helping more people. And I've been able to share your tools with a lot of folks the last 2.5 years here in Asheville, and looking to take that to the next level.
Well, Terry, I'm just so delighted to hear that. And, you know, you and Michelle and your children are the top of conversation with me quite often on the show, but in workshops as we travel and such, because just what you guys have done is such an inspiration. You know, I often talk about, Jeannie also will bring up how your two children, when they were 5 and I believe 9, were in their first intensive and doing energy field work on each other and doing still point breathing with each other. your daughter, when she was about 7, walking by her mom one day and saying, "Have you done your worksheets yet today?" as mom was just relaxing. Yeah. And then a story that I just delight in telling, Terry, and I don't usually get into too much detail about some of the heavy duty, you know, experiences you had in your youth, but sort of a highlight that stands out in my mind when I think about you is the day that you completed your 2-year program at Heartland, and you were driving back and you stopped at a hotel along the way and you called us the next morning. And maybe you'd just talk a little bit more about that. But this, to me, is just a highlight in the gift I get when we get to support somebody doing their work. But having lived in, you know, a pretty heavy-duty world, coming up with a lot of abuse as a child and such, that you called into the show that day and that you shared with us that for the first time in your life you woke up in your hotel room and that every cell in your body was filled with the presence of love. And it was just a physical experience that really impacted you. And I share that so often with people because it's such an inspiration. And, you know, that the possibility that that can be done is just so real and so fabulous.
Yeah, to wake up and feel the active, conscious presence of love is just giving me chills recalling that, you know, for the first time. And I was, I guess, 52, 53, in my 50s. And the first time to wake up with that experience, that's pretty powerful. Because there'd been a constant sense of impending doom prior to that. It's at different levels, not always, you know, heavy and dripping. There was always that little edge, you know. And to wake up free from that is really, it's beyond description unless you have someone that's had that same experience. But I can say that it was powerful, powerful.
I hear you loud and clear, and I'm so delighted to be on your team and so delighted to have you on our team. And of course, at the same time as that experience touches us and it becomes one of those moments we can always look back to, that doesn't mean that the work is finished. That doesn't mean there aren't more levels and layers of pain or trauma to go through. But I know for me personally, you know, the fact that I got to the point where I, you know, a couple of decades ago had that experience, and since then have been able to language that we are designed to have every cell in our structure singing out with the active presence of love 24/7, 365, and then to watch people who live in, as you say, impending doom and trauma, and to taste that is just, you know, I mean, it's beyond anything the world can conceive of as possible. And so to have the conversation, just plant the seed for people to go, wow, you mean I don't have to wake up every morning with this grief or pain or depression or rage or sadness or fear. I can actually wake up, in the direct experience of love, totally, completely filling every cell. It's just like it's such a, what's the word? Almost like an unheard of possibility. And so I'm glad you're here to talk about it.
Yes, me too. And David and I are completed day 38 of 5 sheets a day for 40 days today. So we're getting close to the end of that, and that ties right into the fact that there seems to always be more work to be done.
Yeah, when you figure out that what we're working on is cleaning up a genetic bloodline that has been pretty bizarre with the way the culture goes, it is pretty awesome to recognize the amount of work there is to do and to just keep moving forward, putting one foot in front of the other. I know that I've had people in the past who said, well, you know, gee, if you've been doing this work for 45 years and you're not finished, why should I bother? Because, you know, obviously, you know, if you're not finished, you know, there must be something wrong with it, as opposed to recognizing that, you know, what we're cleaning up literally are the thoughts, the feelings, the insanities of 1,000 generations of a world gone mad. And to step forward as a sane mind in the world is, I think, a powerful gift to give the world.
Definitely. Thanks for allowing me to share with you today.
All right, Terry, we appreciate you and love you.
Love you too, bud. Talk to you again soon.
Okay, we're gonna be up in your neck of the woods in February, so we'll get to see you in February.
All right.
Cool. All right, blessings.
Michael, this has never happened, but it looks like the recording time expired.
Oh, okay. Well, then we'll just say thank you if anybody's still listening, or if the show is cut off, then we'll just say much appreciation and love, and we'll talk to you tomorrow night. Blessings.